into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No,
videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.
Now we want to turn our attention to the 20 by 20 movement, because as we are coming to the end of 2020, we are also coming to something of an end for the 20 by 20 movement as well, which you cannot but have seen over the last couple of years, which was aimed at creating a cultural shift in our attitudes to women's sport. Yesterday it was a big event online, which was about what is next for women in sport. It was as star-studded as you'll get, the likes of Martina Navratilova, Ada Hegerberg, Sonia O'Sullivan, Brian O'Driscoll, Casey Stoney were all there giving their thoughts on how far we've come and how far we still need to go in regards attitudes towards women's sport in this country and around the world as well. To talk about this, I'm delighted to be joined on the line by three guests. Rena Buckley, 18-time All-Ireland winner across camogie and football, the former Irish rugby captain Fiona Steed, and also Sarah Colgan, who is the CEO of Along Came a Spider and very much the brains of the operation in coming up with this entire 20 by 20 movement over the last couple of years. Great to talk to you all. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Hi, great to be here.
Sarah, I might start with you, and if you go back all the way to the start, probably 2.5, 3 years ago at this stage, when you had this idea around women's sport and 20 by 20 and got it down to those three key components of a 20% increase in attendance, a 20% increase in media coverage, and a 20% increase in participation, not just among players, but among referees, coaches, administrators. Can you believe how far you've come?
Yeah, in a way, I think it, you know, Heather Thornton, my business partner, she was very much part of that setup in terms of those three measurable statistics and objectives. And we could see that, you know, if you could put a spoke in that wheel that was going around of the lack of attendances, lack of media coverage, lack of participation, that you'd really get somewhere. But really what 20 by 20 was about was this thing that you mentioned of changing culture and changing our attitudes. And I think probably at the beginning, you know, people were, who are Along Came a Spider and who are you on the scene? I mean, we've such different stakeholder groups, you know, in terms of the sporting landscape, in terms of media, and in terms of the brands as well that we got involved. But this was certainly, had always been my hope for it. And, you know, we're really proud now at the end. It feels so strange in a way to be saying goodbye and this being the final few days when it has been so all-consuming over the last couple of years. But really proud of the results that have come out and where things have, where, you know, how far we've been able to bring it.
We will get on to what does come next and what should come next following on from 20 by 20. But you mentioned results there. I know that as part of this Along Came a Spider, your company have done quite a bit of research into the awareness of women in sport, into the actual figures around Ireland, the improvements that are there. Can you give us an insight into the main things you learned from those figures?
Yeah, what we learned was that, you know, what we had wanted to do was make women's sport visible, make it not just visible in terms of billboards and media and on television, visibly valued, you know, within our cultural traditions and habits and all the rest. So we have found Behaviour and Attitudes did one of the pieces of research with us that 80% of Irish adults and actually goes up to 84% of men, and men have been a big factor in this, and the results around that in terms of shifting male attitudes has been really strong. But 80% of Irish adults saying they're more aware of women's sport now than before 20 by 20 launched 2 years ago, with three quarters of the people surveyed as well, of three quarters of the total population saying that they believe women's sport is seen as cooler now. And then of those aware of 20 by 20, 73% and rising to 75% of men saying that it's changed their mindset positively towards women in sport. And then I'm not going to ream off more percentages, but it has also changed habits in terms of people actually following women's sport more and girls and women participating in sport more. So they were very key objectives. And really from that perspective, we have started that shift. I believe that, and that's great. But, you know, you mentioned the three, you know, the 20% across media coverage, attendance and participation. All of those have gone up and we did exceed the targets for each of them. But, you know, I also feel a certain sense of responsibility. Like, I think print increased by 53% in the first year, online by 50%. But that sounds great. But really, print started out at 3% of all of print sport coverage was dedicated to women in sport. Now it's 5%. And in 2019, it was 5%. And in 2018, 4% of all of sports online coverage was women in sport. And now in 2019, it's 6%. So there's still, you know, it's definitely an improvement. But I mean, that's not a statistic that you're happy to stick with.
Yeah, I guess when you were looking at it originally, you wanted your targets to be manageable as well, that if you went out and said, we want 100% increase, which is what you probably need at least, that it might put people off, whereas actually 20% seems quite manageable and actually we're able to get people on board quite quickly because of that.
Exactly. Like, even if we'd had 100% increase in the attendance, we still wouldn't have filled Croke Park even nearly or the Aviva. But I think, you know, this isn't about kind of wrapping people on the knuckles and go, you know, it's we have to remember that, you know, years ago there is no tradition of piling into cars to go to see women's games and families crowding around TVs for, you know, there is now and that's what's coming. But in terms of bringing people along with you, the idea is to there is so much out there to celebrate, and you need to traditions and habits and creating cultures is something that's formed slowly. But hopefully it doesn't, and we were never going to get to 50-50 in 2 years. But hopefully that will be fast track now, because, you know, if I was to say to my kids, you know, that women playing sport don't get equal funding or equal sponsorship or equal prize money, you know, that generation just like, why? I think, you know, it takes a bit, even in terms, I have to say, Nathan, from Off the Ball's perspective, I know at the beginning as a 20 by 20 media partner, Off the Ball wouldn't have been overly well known for covering women's sport. And I think that this journey, even over the last couple of years, you know, Off the Ball's commitment to now have either to cover one female sporting event or have one female guest on every single show, like that is huge progress. And you're not going to get to equality overnight. But I think it's about all different stakeholders, whether it's media, whether it's the sporting federations, whether it's grassroots in clubs or in schools, or sponsors and brands themselves or members of the public. That is an ecosystem that if everybody starts to change some habits, it's amazing what we'll kickstart in terms of culture.
Yeah, and at the same time, it does seem mad that we can be patting ourselves on the back saying that we're going to cover one female sport or have at least one female guest on the show every evening. And I think, like everybody else, we still have a long way to go with that to get to 50-50 over the coming years. Fiona, I might bring you in because you're living and breathing this in many different ways. You're very much involved on the media side of things. You're involved in coaching. You've got your kids out there as well. Have you seen a shift over the last couple of years? Have you seen the impact on the ground of 20 by 20?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, and it's like Sarah said, it's kickstarting, I suppose, a generational shift as well. And that generation isn't just about the young people, it's about their parents and it's about their grandparents as well, and bringing it into the norm that we're talking about women's sport and, you know, making it sort of, that, you know, girls play sport, girls are good at sport, women are excellent at sport. And I was saying to Sarah, because I've been in touch with her over the last couple of weeks, so out in Brough, where I coach, at the underage with the girls, and a couple of parents came to us. They wanted to buy a set of jerseys, you know, just didn't want any credit for it, didn't want anything else. And one of them's actually Johnny, who coaches with me, the under-16s. And I said, but do you want your brand on it? He goes, no. I said, but should we have to have something on the, you know, on the front of the jersey? And he goes, well, sure, look, what about, you know, the 20 by 20? Sure, isn't that the thing that we should do that? And I was just like, yes, this is the success. This is what's needed. And like, it wasn't prompting for me. I had it in the back of my head, all right. And so that rather than having his company logo on it, he's going to, like, we're going to put 20 by 20 on the front of our under 16 jerseys. Brilliant. When we get back playing. So that for me is absolutely the epitome of what we want, is that people on the ground are, I suppose, living this. And what we've seen in recent days, you know, with Brian O'Driscoll, and I missed the piece, but I registered, so I'm hoping that I'll get all the clips over the coming weekend. But people that, you know, the new generation of men that have daughters and that are really promoting that their daughters are treated the same way, you know. And my dad would have always been that person right back many years ago, and I won't age myself, but when I played, you know, hurling with the boys, I was the only girl in Tipperary playing hurling up to under 14. And I've told this story before, but he tied a pink ribbon in the back of my helmet so that the boys knew there was a girl beating them, you know, when you'd go past them, when you'd knock them over. And I because I've always had those virtues instilled, and I'm one of six and it's five boys and me. But when you have that support from your dad, you know, and now, you know, the media people, you know, and the likes of Brian and Paul O'Connell, and I heard Gordon Darcy going on about it earlier in terms of his daughter's just not started rugby, but she's playing, you know, she's playing Gaelic football, I think. But that really adds more value to all of this, that you have, you know, the dads also, I suppose advocating for their daughters. And I think that's a huge piece that's coming on stream now as well, because the women will always do the piece in terms of, like, we're all here as females supporting each other, but it's really good to have the men on board as well from that perspective. So I've seen a huge shift, and I think that 20 by 20 has been huge to launch that, because it gives a brand, and whether it's on any of the social media channels where, you know, we can say, well, you can do your hashtag 20 by 20 or whatever. It's just been a real movement. And I think, fair play. And I suppose the next steps are for a later conversation, but definitely I can see it. And even in, you know, in Capmore as well, with the Camogie Club, like, we've joined up so that we're the one club now. So it's not Camogie and GA, we're the one club. And that's a huge piece for me that right. I struggle.
What does that mean in practical terms?
Yeah, so before it was Capmore GA Club and Capmore Camogie Club, and we shared the facilities and everything. But I suppose there was always a little bit of a, you know, that the GA Club would have first dibs or whatever. But it's now, you know, it's Capmore GA and Camogie Club. So it's the same across the board. So we get to vote at the AGM. We get to, you know, if one wanted, you could put yourself forward to be chairperson of that club. You know, I suppose we work together in terms of funding, in terms of, you know, doing the lotto, and in terms of dividing it out. And we have a new pitch there, and it's like you can book it online. It's all really, really equal from that point of view. And what the big thing that drove me towards it was that it was cheaper for your son to play and to join rather than your daughter, in terms of it was more expensive for the girls to join the Camogie section. And I was like, well, this isn't right, you know, and what are they getting more for it? So now it's the one fee, we've family membership. So it's just really good. And other clubs in the country have done it, I think, and I'm not as now, Rina will be able to be more into the GA and how that works, but other clubs do it as well. I think it's a big thing that Croke Park need to look at, and even, oh God, I'm going to put a spanner in the works here, but the whole Camogie and Gaelic football piece, that just drives me bananas. So I think it should be one organisation, but that's probably a topic for another day as well.
Yeah, we could be here all day on Gaelic football against Camogie, never mind where they then fit into the overall GEA situation. Rina, one of our greatest ever sports people, I know you're too modest to talk about it, but when you look at where 20 by 20 is and the opportunities that are there now for 17, 18-year-olds coming through in Gaelic games, whether it is football or Camogie, do you wish you could go back in time and have the opportunities that they're getting, or do you think there's still a long, long way to go?
A little bit of both, Nathan, I think, to be honest. I definitely think we're at a better place than we are when I started playing, but I do still think we have a little bit to go. So, like, that's the reality of where we are. We know that we started from probably a little bit behind, but we are catching up, we're getting there. I'm not going to go moaning on about all the inequalities that were there when I was playing. There are still inequalities there, but they're certainly getting less and less. And that's the positive thing. We're definitely moving forward, and it's an expectation that's there, I think, from nearly everybody, from the people playing, the parents. You know, it's an expectation that equality is going to come. And I'm really, really positive that equality will come. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah,
there have been so many good parts of the 20 by 20 movement and the taglines within that and the can't see it, can't be it, which has been a crucial part of having the role models, Rena. But one of the main things it feels it's done as well, it's become this tagline for women's sport that is thrown out there quite often by the governing bodies as well, but has become a term that they can't use as an excuse anymore. So yes, they all support 20 by 20, but then when you hear about, well, you can't have the pitch, but you're saying you support 20 by 20, that you've sort of pulled the rug from beneath the governing bodies in terms of how they treat women's sport, and if they are to treat it slightly differently, that they've committed to this, they're talking the talk around 20 by 20, and because of that, you can kind of force them to walk the walk.
Absolutely, and I suppose the thing that I love about the 20 by 20 campaign, I suppose as a player, you know, you'd often be asked, you know, is there inequality in your sport? Is there anything that, you know, would upset you or anything, you know, you want to, you know, to raise? And, you know, it's very difficult as a player, you know, you're standing with a microphone in front of you, you know, you don't want to be moaning about anything because you love playing the sport and, you know, you're playing, you know, for, you know, the sheer joy of sport, you know. But this is a movement that it's not attached to a single sport in particular. It's a movement to create a shift in our perception of women in sport. You know, it's a movement to help us to value women in sport. It's not just one sport, one organization. It's all of society. And I suppose that's why I kind of love the 20 by 20 movement, because it was a movement not just by women, and it wasn't by, Sarah, forgive me now for saying this, but probably not even that sporty of a group to start
You can
with.
Say that, you can say that.
You know, a group of people who just saw, my God, there's an inequality here, and it's really not good for our society. I would like to be part of a society that would be more inclusive, you know, that would value everybody who plays sport, not just men, that would lead to a healthier society and a better society. And I think everyone, particularly women, I suppose, that were involved in sport, but definitely men could see the value in that. And I think an awful lot of people bought into it. And then I suppose once you buy into it, you are right. Once you sign up for it, you've got to walk the walk. And, you know, it's been absolutely brilliant. And I just see, I just really hope it continues and people keep walking the walk. And we, you know, we set the bar even higher going forward. And we really strive to get that equality. And strive to get that better society as well. That's crucial.
Sarah, it does feel as though that line 20 by 20 has become a byword for equality in sport. And I wonder, when you were having the initial conversations with governing bodies and trying to get the buy-in, I'm sure they were all enthusiastic and, yes, we can put ourselves, add us in, 20 by 20, we'll try and get the 20% growth and all these things and we'll tick the boxes. But you probably see in the last few weeks the impact that when the national team are looking for equality in terms of fees for match day with the soccer and with the men's team, that, you know, you can throw out 20 by 20. Jack Chambers throws out 20 by 20. But actually, what does that mean then? You have to back it up now. If you're saying that you are on board with this, you can throw 20 by 20 out there, but are you seeing them going and backing it up?
Yeah, I think so far. And I think, look, I have to say the governing bodies have been great, like all of them signing that charter. You're right. When you sign a charter, it does put extra pressure on, but there has been so much genuine goodwill from the vast majority of governing bodies of genuinely wanting their women's section to do well and do better and grow bigger. But across the board, whether it's a governing body, whether it's a grassroots club, who, you know, we've got 500 now who have signed that a 20 by 20 charter in their club. So that means that your club will have the female element of sport in your club as an agenda item at every meeting, amongst other things. The same with media and media partners. And there is no doubt that the confidence and the voices getting louder to stand up for something when you see it's not right, even in 24 months, you can see the difference there. That is growing. And you know, the female athletes are standing more unapologetically. And I think, you know, there is just this being silent, which I think, you know, when I was younger was much more common. You'd see things and you wouldn't question them the same way. And I think that is what's, I know Martina Navratilova said yesterday, you know, that sometimes change can be more easily achieved from the top down. But really it's from the bottom up that change is sustainable. And I think though everybody growing a louder voice and particularly younger generations having such a strong view on things like you pay them the same, and is really going to move push things much faster.
What about government then? What's the government's role been in this, Sarah, in terms of equality, in terms of ensuring that all government funding, first off, is split 50-50? Because it still seems completely insane that any governing body can be receiving funding and it's not demanded by the government that it is 50-50. Have they had a role in all this?
No, this has been, 20 by 20 has been entirely thanks to five brands, AIG, Investec, KPMG, Lidl and Three. I think really for, I think, probably government support would be good for this to grow and to get to where it could go. But, you know, it's an interesting point in terms of setting down rules around funding for male versus female sport, and whether that's from government or even whether that's from brands. I mean, I think brands are, I mean, now to be progressive, to be equal, to be forward looking as a brand is so important. And I think brands going into sport with their checkbooks, I think that could be something that, you know, along the lines of Title IX or something in the US, that you can't leave the women's section out in the cold, and that there is some equal and opposite reaction than if it's going to be from another sponsor, and that can come for the women, or, and that is that's something I think that as a way forward, their brands should be aware of, and I'm sure governing bodies will be aware of, and government be aware of, to just become more equal in those splits. Because it shouldn't be the case anymore that even in terms of, you know, at club level, it's too often the case that the girls' team are playing on the bad pitch, and that's just taken for granted if the match is at the same time, or the facilities aren't as good, or they don't get the full kit the same way that the boys do. You know, that I think with voices growing louder and people going, hey, just because it's always been this way, that's not how it should be going forward.
Part of that as well, I guess, Fiona, is the lobbying and having the right people in the right places. And when we talk about participation, it's not just in terms of players, it's in terms of the administration side of the game as well. And we did a State of the Union with Keith Wood recently on the women's game in rugby, and we'd Maggie Alfonsi on, who was brilliant, talking about her role within the RFU and been quite out there saying, you know, my aim now post rugby is to be the president of the RFU. That's the ambition I have, and I'm going to be quite out there, and I don't care who knows about it. But she said she's pretty much on her own in terms of being the female voice in there. And it's very hard to find the paths, and that committees are set up around male lives, around male social lives. The times the meetings even take place are all set up to make it easy for men. Are you seeing progress on that side of the game, that in those committees, whether it's rugby, any other sport, that the female voices are becoming more heard?
Yeah, I suppose I can only speak to my own piece, and I sit on the Munster Women's Subcommittee and the RFU Women's Subcommittee at the moment with regard to the rugby. I suppose I'd have ambitions as well, maybe not quite the president that you can get. They didn't quake in their boots there now in the RFU. But
go for it. Now's your time.
I'm not going to say that, but I think it is improving, and I think, you know, there is a governance review just finished in the RFU as well, which will have some interesting pieces that will come out of it. I think there will be more participation of women in all avenues of committees and at all levels, and I absolutely believe that that has to happen. And I mean, you mentioned it there, Sarah, you know, the top down or the bottom up approach, and which is more sustainable, and I really feel it has to be both ways. So you have to have influence at the top in order to create the space for the grassroots to grow, and I think that's really, really important. And that shift where you know, where women are at the top in all of the committees, to make sure that you know, so that they have a voice. But it's not just a voice about the female game. You know, women have a different perspective on things, on loads of things, as you'll know. So it's not, they're not there just to advocate for women in sport, but for the sport in general, because we have a, you know, there's different views out there. So I can see it slowly improving. Certainly we have a really, really healthy relationship with the Munster branch down here, you know, in terms of Wendy Keenan, our chair, sits on all of the branch committees, and we have representation on all the committees, as do the other provinces, which is really, really good. And that's, I suppose, you know, you have to show your worth. You have to show that, well, you know, what you can do and how you do it and being organized and everything else. I think the one thing about, well, one of the things about COVID and the scheduling and all of this, everything now, the majority is done remotely and done via whatever platform, like what we're doing now. And I think that takes away a lot of the barriers to, you know, my kids are out there. I don't even know what time it is, but, you know, they're fine. I'm at home and, you know, they're managing themselves. So I think technology takes away a lot of barriers as well. And I think going forward, that will be, you know, that will be a good thing. So yeah, things are improving. It is slow. It's like, you know, Rena is saying, we're nowhere near where we should be or where we need to be, but there is certainly progress. And I can certainly see that in the last couple of years. And sometimes it just takes big failures for good things to come out of it. So whether it was, you know, when the soccer girls, you know, with their kit, you know, that then they were taken seriously when they wrote the letter. There's like this whole piece with the GAA and the Camogie, I think, or with Camogie and the Gaelic football, something will come out of that as well. Sometimes it takes big deals to sort of instill that change and to drive that change. And then sometimes it is this movement, you know, like 20 by 20 that is starts, you know, with, you know, the way Sarah started it off, getting buy-in from all sorts. So whether it's the athletes or whether it's the TV partners or the radio partners or whether it's the grassroots piece and the clubs and, you know, the piece about the back pitch and the mucky pitch and the training pitch and all of that. But I think clubs are seeing as well the value to having women and girls in every aspect. So like, again, we have 80 something girls underage registered at Prof. So that's 80 something membership fees. That's, you know, a certain amount of kit that they'll want to buy and the, you know, the club hoodies and all of this sort of thing. So there's a revenue stream attached to having more girls as well. And there's obviously the huge skill sets that all of us women bring to the table. And I think it's just that we have to be allowed to show that or take every advantage too. So it's, yeah, I can see it, you know, it is a shift. I think the UK are probably ahead of us in some respects. And certainly you're talking about branding there with O2 now insisting that, you know, 50% of their sponsorship has to go directly to the women's teams in the RFU and the men's as well. So it's like you were saying, Sarah, it's up to the big brands as well to hold their hands up and say, well, we're giving you X, but X needs to be divided by two and divided equally, because I'm not sure that the representative bodies will do that on their own, let's just say.
Rena, you were part of our roadshow last year. It was our first ever all-female roadshow, and Sonia Sullivan was there that night, and we were commenting that, like, Sonia was the ultimate role model for men and women in the country throughout the late 90s, early 2000s, but that in some ways she was, for a lot of people, the only female role model for years and years and years. And part of that can't see it, can't be it, is getting more visibility, getting more television coverage, getting more familiar with the personalities, getting them on the radio, getting them on the television. And I think we've seen a lot more of that. Have you noticed that around the grassroots level, that there is more of a familiarity now with the Cork ladies footballers, the Cork Camogie side, the Irish rugby players, the Irish team that are playing tomorrow night against Ukraine, that suddenly people now recognise Louise Quinn, people recognise Nifahi, that these are becoming more familiar names?
Yeah, I suppose I can speak from the GA vantage point here. And I suppose we're in a kind of an unusual situation in Cork, where by over the last 10 or 15 years, actually the ladies teams have been far more successful than the men's teams, to the point that I would say that I suppose looking back on the, particularly the ladies football team, that would have been very, very successful. You know, I think we were probably more recognisable for a period than the men's team, you know, and that's a phenomenal success. No, I suppose you have to look at that with that we were a very successful ladies football team pitted against a Cork men's team that probably weren't as successful as previous years. You know, they had won an All-Ireland in 2010, and, you know, after that, maybe things weren't going as well. But it's a phenomenal thing to say that, you know, in terms of football, I would say in the Cork public, the ladies were nearly more recognisable than the men. So I suppose that in itself is great. And not because it's a victory for women. It's just that because the Cork ladies teams were getting to finals and the Cork men's teams of the time weren't, then we were more recognisable than the men. And that's probably just a normal thing that should be happening in any county where the ladies team is more successful than the men. So there's definitely a change. And, you know, social media has been massive. You know, it's given, you know, a lot of sports and maybe, you know, a platform that's maybe not in the, you know, in the usual media. And it's been fantastic in particular for women's sport that it's given a visibility and it's given kids role models, which is really, really important for, you know, sport going forward and for girls going forward and, you know, looking where they want to go, knowing where they want to end up and finish playing, you know, and, you know, that visibility is there for them. So I think there's been certainly huge improvements over the last number of years. But as we were saying, there's definitely probably more to go as well.
Fiona, there's probably a debate to be had as well when we look to what comes next about the language around women's sport. So the Republic of Ireland are playing Ukraine tomorrow night. Is that the Republic of Ireland women's team? Do we want to differentiate between the two of them? Likewise, with Ladies Gaelic Football, it is called the Ladies Gaelic Football Association. When do we need to get to a situation where it's just football, it's just the soccer team? Or actually, does women's sport need that differentiation so that from a advertising sponsorship point of view, there is a point of difference?
Yeah, I've thought about this a bit because I suppose when we go in here, you know, when we're goes, oh God, you know, Ireland are playing on the telly, and like my little boy will go, well, is it boys or girls, you know, because we just want to know which is playing so that we can watch it or whatever. And I, like when World Rugby changed last year, so there was the Rugby World Cup, and they weren't saying whether it was the Men's Rugby World Cup or the Women's Rugby World Cup. I'm sort of like, well, you do need to know. It's not one of the things that I'm really hung up on. I don't think there's any problem saying it's the Women's Rugby World Cup or it's the Men's Rugby World Cup, but I suppose the debate is that it's just was the Rugby World Cup or the Women's Rugby World Cup. So they've got rid of that. Likewise, tomorrow night, Ireland are playing. I don't have a problem with it being Ireland women's team are playing. I don't find that any way derogatory. I think it's just defining it, you know, that, but then they don't say Ireland men's team are playing. So it's not something that I'm overly hung up on. Like if I watch sport, it's because I want to watch sport. I'm not a huge soccer fan. I don't know if I'll have enough in my window tomorrow night to watch Ireland women's playing, but the same applies if Ireland men were playing, you know, so it's just that soccer isn't one of the many sports that I really have enough time to watch at the moment because there's so much else going on. So, you know, I think I'm not overly hung up on that, Nathan, around that piece of language. I think what's important is the visibility and that they're on the various channels in terms of whether it's, you know, streamed. And I think that, you know, a lot of like the Camogie certainly doing a lot at the moment with regard to streaming the, you know, the county matches and that. And, you know, that is, they need to be available to view. I don't really mind what you call them outside of that. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think they need to be out there and they need to be marketed. And maybe you need to know, you know, that it's women's or men's. I don't have a huge problem with either way.
I have a view on it.
Go on. Go on, Sarah.
I get what you mean. But I think you can't. What is happening is that you are getting the World Cup and the Women's World Cup and the Six Nations and the Women's Six Nations and captain and lady captain. And if you're going to change mindsets, and yes, we've, you know, of our generation, we've grown up with it, whatever, but you are, every time that happens, you are denoting that it is the deviation, that the women's version is the deviation. So I think either, you know, in media when it's being reported, you know by the image or you know by the names in the article that it's, oh, it's men or it's women, or else you make a call that anytime anything that you're calling women's, then you use the men's in front of the other version. Because I think that it's so subliminal, but it's, you know, there was a study done a couple of years ago around the Olympics and the words that were used, and men claimed titles, whereas women clinched them. And I think there was, women were 47% more likely in the article, they mentioned something about the woman's age or her marital status or her appearance. So like, that's just wild. So I think you have to have a policy on that editorially, because I think it's another subliminal marker of it being second best. But anyway, you didn't ask me for my opinion, but you got it.
that's the broader language piece, which I absolutely agree with you in terms of, you know, that it should be about the athlete as opposed to their personal life or anything like that. But my piece was just on whether it's the men's or the women's, like, I don't know, but your points are valid, and I'll give it back to Nathan to moderate this.
Rena, where do you stand on it?
On language?
On the language.
Yeah, it was, I suppose, up until 2 years ago, was it something I thought a whole pile about? Not really, but I suppose when I'm looking at it now, it seems kind of silly that we're talking about football and ladies' football or rugby and women's rugby. Like, I would kind of agree that it should be men's rugby or women's rugby and men's football and women's football. You know, I think that's a reasonable way to go. And obviously, like the girls were saying, like the language, you know, when you're describing women's matches or analysing women's games or play or performance, you know, it has to be a similar language. And it shouldn't be honing in on anything personal. It should be all to do with the, you know, the play and the performance. And, you know, that's something that, you know, in media, you know, games should be analysed, you know, on merit of the game. Not on any sideshows or anything personal like that. It should be, you know, analysed correctly, analysed properly, and analysed well. And that's, I think that's what most reasonable people would look for and expect.
Yeah, I think America, again, are probably a step ahead of us where they have, with their soccer teams, the US men's national team and the US women's national team, and that is how they're referred to at all times by everyone. We are tight enough on time, and I do want to get to what is next. Sarah, I presume you're not riding off to the sunset now and just leaving this be for the next
few
years.
Heading off to Barbados, yeah.
You've achieved a lot over the last 2 years. If we were to sit down in 2 years' time, what would you like to see? What would be the developments you'd have liked to have seen from 20 by 20 that has a real lasting legacy?
I think I think for the piece around, you know, there's with each of the stakeholder groups, so I'd love to see some more hero brands walk in and you know, take over the women's section in different sports and treat it like Ada Hegerberg made a brilliant point yesterday about treating female athletes like a product. You know, you have to invest in that product. You start that product at age 6, not start at how to do a pass at age 15 or something, and you give them the best pitches and you give them the best coaching or whatever, and it takes years, and that's what at her club Lyon what they did over 10 years, and now they are the best women's club in the world. And so I think that coming through, you know, for in a sporting context, whether that's clubs doing it for their young girls teams or grassroots teams or governing bodies doing it for their elite teams. And I think that, you know, the strides that have been made in media, even in terms of what you guys are doing, what RTE have done as part of their commitment to 20 by 20 as our national broadcaster is also something that makes me really proud. You know, they are bringing in this measurement system and looking across their pundits, their expert opinions, you know, the content that they have on, and measuring that and setting targets and sharing that. First time in Ireland having a measurement system and sharing that with people. And I think just, you know, in terms of fans of sport, for those voices to be getting louder. And you know, as Brian O'Driscoll said yesterday, he was like, probably when I was playing, you know, it's not, I was just thinking about my own game and whatever. And since having a daughter, and yes, it shouldn't take having a daughter to make you see that, you know, this better society that Rena was talking about, having a son as well. You want your son to see men and women being valued equally in whatever the industry is. So I hope that I'd like in a couple of years that seeds have been planted now and this shift had started, that each of those sectors kind of gathers momentum in and of itself, in whether it's media, whether it's schools, whether it's clubs, whether it's governing bodies or sponsors or just members of the public.
Yeah. Rena, for you over the next couple of years, what do you think is next? Following on from 20 by 20?
Yeah, well, one thing I have to say is that I think in terms of participation, there's been huge strides made. I know just in my own home club, so I have two clubs I play football with Dunamore. So this year we fielded two football teams, the same as the men. The men fielded two adult football teams as well. In Camogie, we fielded three adult teams, the same as the men. And in Iscara, they fielded three adult hurling teams as well. So in terms of participation, I'm really proud that, you know, we've made such strides in that. So that's obviously, you know, sport is to be played and to be enjoyed. And that's fantastic. So I think going forward, I think in terms of participation, things Fiona was talking about there in terms of, you know, getting involved in administration, getting involved in refereeing, and I suppose getting involved as well in supporting, you know, female teams. I think there's huge strides to be made in those areas. And obviously then, we need our stakeholders to be putting their money where their mouth is, really, and financially backing women in sport. Mary O'Connor is constantly saying that equality is about treating men and women according to their needs. And I think that's really important. Women have come from a different place. Women's needs are slightly different. And if we get those stakeholders in and really looking at, you know, equality, I think we'd be in a brilliant place, you know, in 5 years' time, 10 years' time. And then, of course, the media, again, we're going the right direction. But if we could get, are we at 8%? So if we, in terms of...
Not yet.
We're not at 8%. Like, if we could get to, in 5 years' time, if we could get to 30%, you know, that would be a huge step forward. So, you know, there's loads of gains to be made. But, like, I won't be too pessimistic. In terms of grassroots, I think in terms of participation, we've made huge strides there. That is the most important one by far, in a way. But, like, we need all the other pieces of the jigsaw to come together as well.
Fiona, just to wrap up, look, you've already made it clear 2 years' time, another step along the ladder on the way to IRFU president.
You've ruined my chance.
They're all going to be ready for you now.
Just to be clear, that the process to get to president even of a club is so winding that I joked with the Shawnee McCullough from Nina is the new Munster president, and Ger Malone from Rough was the president a couple of years ago, and I was joking with them just in terms of, how would I get to president of the Munster branch now? Well, you have to be coming from the club. So I have several clubs that I'm life members of, which would be Shannon, my club, and Nina. And then obviously I'm a member of Brough. And they were like, well, Brough is gone. Nina is Shawnee now. So it'd only be Shannon. But Shannon, I'm not involved with Shannon since I stopped playing. So that's not an opportunity. So you have to, that's
so you've thought about it is what we're getting.
I've thought about it. Jeepers, my last cap was, or my 60th cap was Maggie Alfonsi's first cap. We played opposite each other.
Right.
So I was glad to be finishing up as she was starting. Let me just say that. But we all have our ambitions. What I'd like, though, is that we don't have to have this conversation. I'd like that it is the norm. I'd like that it's not a thing to talk about, that, oh God, is it equal or are we at 8%? I mean, when you say things like that, you just go, oh, jeepers, have we achieved anything at all? But we have. I'd like it to be normal that...
Somebody with 60 caps for Ireland, it would be a natural thing that they would end up becoming president of the Munster branch. I mean that in all seriousness, that's the stage we need to get to, that you would that they would want you in there as quickly as possible.
Of course, absolutely, yeah, and all my skills and everything else. And I'd just like it to be that we don't have to have this conversation. I have two fabulous daughters and a little son, and we treat them equally, up to doing their jobs, up to tidying their room, up to the sports that we support and that we play. And we're an equality household, and that it'll be drilled into all of them, and that they have to earn what they get regardless of what it is. But I'd like it to be normal that you can be whatever you want to be if you've got the skill set to be it. And that comes from being, you know, a club player to a county player to an interprovincial player, if that's your sport, to being president of the IRFU or the GAA. God, there's one for you, Rina, with all your Ireland. Become president of the GAA, that might be, because you're not even in it. So there we go.
We got to leave it there, unfortunately, Fiona. Thanks as always for joining us. Rena Buckley as well. And Sarah Colgan, a brilliant achievement over the last couple of years. We actually haven't had a conversation like this in quite a while. We mentioned this, that the good thing is we're talking more and more about the sport rather than the issues around the sport. But I think we should come back to this again over the coming weeks and the coming months. But it's a huge achievement what you've done with 20 by 20. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
The OTB Podcast Network with Pepsi Max, proud sponsor of the UEFA Champions League. For the love of it.